B&E.
Like these old Asian dudes, you know, they live a long time. And I think a part of that is like when they put their hands behind their back. Put their hands behind their back and they walk. So I am now, when you see me walking, my hands behind my back. E. Don't laugh. That's not funny. I'm taking that up. If I'm going for a walk now.
Because you've determined that you think that's why they live a long time?
I think that's part of it. That when they stroll, they have their hands behind their back and they walk. And I'm doing that from now on. Is there anything wrong with that? It's a copycat society, right? You told me to walk.
We'll run through these USA Today NFL predictions coming up. Had some fun with that early, and we'll reset it here later in the show. Also, more conversation from the National Football League, college football as well, as we're now 43 days to the start of the college football season. Texas at Maryland, and we're counting it down now to Texas. The Texas fall practice beginning on August the 3rd. I'll actually be in Chicago on August the 3rd, so I will not be here when that happens. But, hey, you know, there's a week coming up, folks, here on the show, the people where Bucky and I are both gone. This hasn't happened.
That's the first time ever.
20 years of this program.
It's never happened.
Somehow our vacations have fallen on the same four-day stretch in early August.
I'm headed to the Snake River.
I'm headed to Chicago.
And BK's headed to here. Well, he's young. He needs to really work into this business.
So BK is going to take the reins with some great guest hosts, including the great Craig Way and we'll have some other folks up in here. BK, you ready for that? To take over the reins of the show of the people?
Ready to roll.
Yeah. We might get Wally pipped, you and I. Come back and be bah.
Show might be off the air is what's more likely.
What's going to happen is a bunch more comedians in here.
Yeah, we got people calling the show making cancer jokes. Yeah, we will be off the air soon enough. That's
I'm
never funny.
I'm thinking the following 2 weeks after that. I'm going to need some time.
No.
We're going on the 10-day disabled list.
When you're young, you don't need that much time. You got to keep working and keep hustling and keep moving. And keep people hearing your voice. That's very important at a young age in your 20s. When you're in your 30s and 40s, then you start taking a little vacation. When you get to 60, you need a lot of vacation because you need to regenerate that battery. Get sucked out of you like the sun did to me yesterday.
You kind of knew that was coming. It was going to be 105 degrees.
Trying to talk myself into a way that I'm going to feel really good.
Yeah, you left here at
holes.
10 o'clock yesterday, having gotten up at like middle of the morning, like 2:30 in the morning to watch golf.
Yes.
Do this show and then act like you're going to get out and play golf in 105 degrees. You're not going to wear down. Of course you are. Yes, anybody would. You're not going to go get a nap before you drive out there.
We told you that was going to happen.
You're going to die out there.
And I started to worry. That drive back, I started to worry that, oh, no, I'm going to run off the road. I thought I was doing 75. I was doing 55 with people going all around me.
Was there brush fires out there?
Yes, there were. There were a lot of helicopters dumping water out in that area.
I mean, tremendously hot this weekend. I mean, that's not breaking news, but even for this area, I mean, these are record-setting temperatures. I mean, tomorrow we'll break a record that's been 18 years a record from 2000. Today, if we go over, you know, the forecasted high temperature for Monday is 109 degrees, and that is obviously beyond dangerous. Plus, there's humidity in there, and the heat index. When your heat index is pushing 115, yeah, stay inside.
And you need to quit making us lottery players seem like we're ignorant.
I'm not
ignorant, folks. That we don't win. I mean, I don't win, but somebody wins the
ignorant
lottery.
I can look at the odds and say that that's not a wise spending of my money.
No, he's an idiot.
You think since I was 18 years old, if I'd have given you the money.
On every lottery ticket you've ever spent?
Yeah. And drinking, that of being...
Well, you know, you get some reward out of drinking, right?
I used to. Yeah, yeah. There was some reward out of that.
You get something.
Yeah, but... I guess lottery, but I only need to hit one, right? Isn't that right, BK?
True.
You only have to hit one time.
But obviously the odds suggest you never will. So, you know, when you do, I'll be proven wrong. But yes, if you had given me all that money over those years... You'd be sitting pretty. You'd have a nice little nest egg.
I don't even want to think about how much that would have been. I don't either. I don't like to think about that. Because you're just living, and then you're going to die. You have to have something that you do. You have to have something that still makes you smile and gives you hope. How's that? And that's not called a savings account.
You know what I mean? Portfolio.
It's not always a savings account, y'all. Look at BK. He's like, what are you talking about? Right, BK, you get it? You spend it, don't you?
I'm getting some lottery tickets today.
There you go.
This conversation has inspired me.
And that's going to piss me off because you'd be the guy.
I'm not
going to
win, man.
By the way, speaking of rich dudes, you see where our guy, Jeff Bezos, is now the richest man in modern history. That was announced this week.
No, and he cannot ever spend what he has, ever.
No, his fortune is worth $150 billion, and the estimates within the next year or so could be $200 billion. Golly, Jeff Bezos, richest man in modern history. I mean, you go back to some of the founders of this country and then the people who built during the Industrial Revolution, built the country, and you know, the barons.
The Rockefellers.
The Rockefellers and the steel families.
Even
the Carnegies,
Kennedys and what they have.
So much money. But this is what this guy's doing. He's doing it in tech and he's doing it with Amazon and they own everything. Crazy. That there's a portfolio. But BK, I never asked you because Bucky likes to play the lottery and play the ponies. That's kind of his way to get rich. I never got to ask you about your field trip with the Buck to Lone Star Park to play the ponies on Saturday. You guys went out on Saturday while we were up in Frisco, and how did that go? You came home with some money in your pocket, I hear.
Taking some money from some ponies.
Did you understand the numbers game Bucky's playing?
I've got it figured out now. There will be future trips down to Retama.
What did you figure out?
Numbers.
Yeah, just how to place your bets and what trifectas and exactas and all that stuff means.
But you got to know the numbers like the Buck does.
See, here, and the thing about it is, Wags is going, so you don't look over the owners and the jockeys. I'm like, why waste my time on that? The horse is what's doing it.
Oh, I've got the Phil Steele horse racing preview for 2018, man.
Tell them certain numbers.
The Daily Racing Form.
BK, tell them on the particular day, certain numbers were running together.
Yeah. Three and the six.
And how do you
together?
Know that, though? Is this just years of
practice? We're watching races.
You're watching different races. You're not watching one race. You're watching races from all over the country, whether it's at Pimlico or it's from Retama.
All those TVs, all those ponies, yeah.
And so you see a bunch of numbers that seem to be running together, and they ran together on Saturday.
Okay. And that's just kind of coincidence, or is that a trend? Is that a...
And you have certain numbers that are your favorite numbers. You know, five and the deuce and the five are my favorite numbers, and some of that was going on. And BK was just like, yeah, this is sweet. And we're talking about, you know, $170 trifectas each, $130 trifectas.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And some misses that could have been big.
You and BK playing the ponies. You and I did that in Vegas once. I sat there and watched you, and I was thoroughly confused.
Yeah, it's confusing until you go up there and get that ticket money.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
All right, so a lot going on. We're kicking this around. Let's get you a leaderboard and an update from the Ticket City Update Desk. UBO Business Services brings you the news. It's the Open Championship, the 147th playing of the British Open. And Zach Johnson and Kevin Kisner, your leaders, at 6-under par. Zach is in the clubhouse with a 67 today. He is the clubhouse leader. Kisner had been to 7-under, but has given one back here on the front side. He now even atop the leaderboard at 6-under par. Tommy Fleetwood with the round of the day. He's in the clubhouse, shot a 65 today. He is at 5-under par, one back of the leaders. Rory McIlroy shot 69. He's among a group of golfers at 4-under par. Along with Eric Van Ruin, Tony Finau, who has not teed off yet today, and Xander Lombard, who also has not teed off. We'll keep you posted. Tiger Woods is back to even par after getting into red numbers for a little bit. But a very crowded leaderboard. A lot of red on the board because the course is soft and gettable today for the best players in the world. Also, from the world of the NFL, less than 2 months after establishing a controversial national anthem policy, the NFL backtracking on that policy. They've hit the pause button. Well, now they're going to sit down with the NFL Players Association and negotiate a compromise towards a policy for conduct during the anthem. In a joint statement released last night by the two sides, they declare that they have a shared focus and will remain on finding a solution to the anthem issue through mutual good faith commitments and outside of litigation. NBA, the short-lived Carmelo Anthony era in Oklahoma City is over as expected. He wasn't released, though. Traded to the Atlanta Hawks yesterday, part of a three-team deal that will land the 10-time All-Star in Atlanta. And meanwhile, the Hawks will send Dennis Schroeder, their big man, back to Oklahoma City, part of that deal. Now, Melo will never play a minute for the Hawks. He's expected to be bought out and released. Houston Rockets reportedly the front-runners to sign him. Baseball, Cleveland Indians, major trade yesterday completed. Of course, Manny Machado to the Dodgers earlier this week. This is a big one, too. The Indians' bullpen has been a mess this year. They acquired the all-star closer Brad Hand from the San Diego Padres, along with Adam Simber, a rookie reliever. That's going to help build their bullpen. They did have to give up their top prospect and one of the top catching prospects in all of baseball. Francisco Mejia is headed back to the San Diego Padres. Round Rock Express won at Colorado Springs last night. 4-3, they head to Omaha for a weekend series with the Storm Chasers, and that's the news.
Documation is now UBO Business Services. New name, same great people, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Guys are awful funny on a Friday, too. It says, Bucky, if you hit the lottery for $400 million, would you and your wife move in together then?
That's a fair question.
That's a fair question.
Just buy yourself a house and then buy her another house.
See, that's not a fair question. Of course I would. Of course I'd give that some thought. That's not a bad
listen, to each his own. I mean, I'm sure it's working for you. When you drove home exhausted from the golf course last night, did you go over to her house or did you go home to your own home?
I went home, but on the way I called her and said, I may have to stop by your house.
And I'm about to pass out.
Because I'm about not to make it. She lives a little closer.
And what'd she say? Nah, go ahead.
Go home. You can make it. You can make it.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
We're
nothing
married
to see
now.
Here.
If you roll yourself into a ditch, it's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, man. That's not very nice. But, yes. Hey, by the way, that Padres trade, we haven't mentioned, that's a big trade for the Astros. Were going to be involved in that Brad Hand conversation.
I thought Yankees were going to get Brad Hand.
Well, give the Indians credit. They jumped in front. And, if Andrew Miller comes back, I mean, their bullpen's been a mess because Cody Allen has not pitched well. He used to be their lockdown closer. He has struggled. And Andrew Miller got hurt. Remember when they went to the World Series and lost to the Cubs? It was that three-headed monster in their bullpen that was just incredible. And Andrew Miller was the bridge guy. He's been out. But if Miller comes back and Cody Allen can find form, Brad Hand is wicked. And the other kid they brought over, the rookie right, he is kind of one of those sidewinder right-handers. This can stay if the Indians stabilize their bullpen, they're going to be okay because their starting staff is pretty good, actually really good, among the best. And if their lineup is outstanding, that puts them in the conversation. You know, they're only 10 games or so over 500 in first place, but they've blown a lot of leads. Their bullpen has been terrible for Terry Francona. That's a huge trade for them. The Dodgers and Indians use the All-Star break to get a lot better. Manny Machado to the Dodgers and the Indians. Those teams are already in first place of their divisions. But they just took big steps forward. You know, Astro fans, I think, are disappointed to see that because they wanted, you know, the Astro fans would have their choice. They'd have liked to have gotten into the Brad Hand deal. And so would the Red Sox. They were talking to him. So were the Yankees.
Yep.
Like the Yankees need another guy in their bullpen.
I thought the Yankees were going to get him.
Yeah, Betances is kind of iffy at this point, and Aroldis Chapman's been dealing with some injury. But when they're healthy, the Yankees bullpen's fine. Red Sox, they want some insurance for Craig Kimbrell. And the thing about Brad Hand that is so of value is that he's under control. They signed him to a new contract, so you've got him for three seasons. You got him this year and two more, and he's only 27, 28 years old, a left-hander that's just wicked. So good get for the Indians. Astros, you wonder what's left. I mean, that I don't know if that – BK, have you heard anything on the Keone Kayla deal from the Rangers? Are they going to trade him here in the next 11 days?
Not sure. The Cubs were very interested. The Cubs and the Rangers made a trade yesterday.
That's
right. The Cubs acquired Jesse Chavez, who is not on the Keone Kayla level. They only had to give up one, you know, pretty low prospect to get him. But teams are interested. That's for sure. He's young. He's controllable. He's having a great year.
Was he 20 for 20, right, on saves?
Yeah, 21, I think. 20, maybe 22 at this point. But teams will call for him. And Jake Diekman also, the lefty, their best lefty in the bullpen. One or both of those guys might be dealt.
Well, and that's the issue for the Astros because, again, they are having these conversations in their building. Can we win this division without going and giving up top prospects? Because the Indians had to give up their number one prospect.
Right.
If you know anything about baseball, catchers are hard to find. A really great franchise-type catcher is a premium position in Major League Baseball right now. And they just gave up a kid named Francisco Mejia, who's a switch-hitting catcher. He's 22 years old. That's hard to give up because those guys, I mean, you get a catcher that can come in and be your backstop for years. That is valuable because they're really hard to come by. Well, that's how valued they thought of Brad Hand, which tells you if you're an Astros fan, you would have cost you a Forrest Whitley or a Kyle Tucker. They weren't going to trade Brad Hand for anything but your number one or two prospect on their board. So the Astros didn't go there. The question and the debate they're having in the Astros room is, can we win this division with what we have?
Sure they can.
Because Hector Rondon's been pretty good. You know, they demoted Ken Giles, so they're not worried about him right now. And like they did last year, once they made the postseason, they started using starting pitchers to close out games. We saw Justin Verlander come out of the bullpen, obviously Charlie Morton and Lance McCullers. And this year, Colin McHugh, who used to start for them but now is in the bullpen, he's been great out of their bullpen.
Dude, it's been a healthy year for them so far.
Oh, yeah. But as we talked about, the Astros' strength this year has been I mean, they've been really good, but they've dominated bad teams. I think the Astros' record's like 35 and 9 against under 500 teams. But against good teams, which, you know, they've held their own, but they've blown a lot of leads in those games. They've blown a couple to the Yankees. They blew a couple to Cleveland where they had the lead late and the bullpen blew it. And those are the teams you have to beat to win these things and to go big picture. But again, you don't have to face those guys in series until the postseason.
That's right.
And, you know, this is about the regular season right now. I do think the Astros bullpen right now is good enough for them to win the American League West as built and maybe a smaller move. But Brad Hand now a Cleveland Indian, which makes, I'm telling you, if the Indians get back on track with Andrew Miller, the American League playoff scene is just a bloodbath. I mean, it is. It's the defending champion Astros. The Yankees are better, and they're going to make a move before the deadline. You know it. The Red Sox.
They're going pitching somehow.
The Reds, yes. They need a starter.
There's not much out there, though.
There's not a ton, but they will make a move. The Red Sox are just ridiculous good. I mean, they're not even to 100 games yet. They're almost 40 games over 500. That's how well they've played. And then, you know, the Indians have struggled, but mostly because of their bullpen. And here they pick up the best reliever available. They're going to be better. And if Andrew Miller comes back, they'll be terrific. And, you know, Seattle has you know, that playoff, that is awesome. That is really, really compelling
Seattle.
Drama. Yeah,
now,
Seattle.
Isn't I mean, for the Yankees, or I mean, for the Red Sox, isn't Pedroia hurt? Is he banged up?
Yeah, I don't know. They don't know if he's going to come back this year.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, then they got to have help there.
Well, he's been hurt the whole year. I mean, they've been fine without him.
Yeah, no, he hasn't played.
It's crazy to think they could be even better than what they are right
wow.
now.
Yeah, they are such an offense. And the J.D. Martinez is one of the greatest, best moves that was made last year because he's provided – they were a really good offense last year. They just didn't have the thump and the thumper in the middle. That was Big Poppy before Big Poppy retired. Well, now J.D. Martinez has assumed that, and he's slugging the ball like crazy. And then – you got Mookie, and these guys are all over the place. I mean, they're really good, really good. They got a good mix of youth and some experienced guys. Chris Sale is dominant. They're good. I mean, that's that American League. I think a lot of people would still pick the Astros based on when you do get to the postseason. If healthy, it's Verlander, Cole, Morton, McCullers. I mean, they're so deep with their starting pitching that no one can really match that. But, and you know, they're going to get Carlos Correa back in Houston. They'll get George Springer going. He's been slumping. I think the Astros, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Astros make a move for a bat. I know that sounds crazy, but the Astros have not been happy with their production outside of George Springer from their outfield right now. That's why they brought Kyle Tucker up when they did. You know, they brought Kyle Tucker up right in early July. They wanted to give him a good 3-week run to see what he had going. If he looks overmatched and he has not hit great since he's been up, they may make a trade for a bat. Especially a left-handed bat, because one of the other things that happened right as they brought up Kyle Tucker was Brian McCann, their catcher, had surgery. He's going to be out for the remainder, maybe the remainder of the regular season, or pretty close. They think McCann will come back for the postseason, but McCann was obviously their best catcher, but he also was a left-handed bat at the bottom of that order that could provide some pop and just professional at-bats. They're really not getting that right now from the bottom of the order. Tony Kemp has been pretty good. Josh Reddick has not hit like he did last year. Marwin Gonzalez has not hit anything close to like he did last year. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Astros go get a bat if Kyle Tucker doesn't heat up here in the next 11 days. And it wouldn't be a major bat, but you can go get a nice stick to play one of your corner outfield spots.
It's easier to find that than it is to find pitching right now.
No doubt.
Especially starting pitching.
And you give up much less.
You know, Carmelo's telling everybody he's headed to Houston.
Yeah, great.
And for the Houston Rockets, I'm still not getting that. I guess you can always say we have another superstar in the fold, but that was superstar from the past. I mean,
I feel like that is
that's Chris Paul's deal.
Well,
that's his buddy.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And they played on USA teams before, and you know they're gonna. This is what this allows the Rockets to do. I think anybody that follows basketball closely will say, "Come on, that's not putting you over the top. Your best chance was last year." When you had the glue guys and the grit guys that played defense, Carmelo Anthony is the opposite of that. But you can sell hope with this, at least to your season ticket buyers. Oh, man, Carmelo joining Chris Paul, James Harden.
If he could score, I mean, if he was even a scorer, his shooting is horrifying to watch him shoot.
Well, you know, people love salary caps. Players hate salary caps, right? Fans love them.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you a little stat that I retweeted yesterday I find interesting? In their careers, LeBron James, from playing basketball, has earned just about $234 million. Carmelo Anthony, just about $5 million less for the career.
Doesn't Doesn't sound right.
LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony has made essentially the same amount of money playing basketball for their careers. That seems off, right? I mean, that seems off, but that's a salary cap. You can only give so much. You can only max out a contract at a max out. So both those guys get max deals every time, and so the career earnings, and no one's crying for either of them. They've made right. $230 million in their careers, plus endorsements. But you would think based on performance and player, I mean, hell, in an open market, LeBron James would have made $500 million already in his career. I mean,
and all I have to do is hit one lottery tonight.
You don't have to make one shot.
And I'd have Ned had to make a shot. All I have to do
when
is
are
pick
they announcing
a ticket.
This?
Saturday night during the news.
No, tomorrow night. No, tomorrow. This is tonight's lottery. Mega Million is tonight.
Oh, they announce it tonight?
They'll let you know tonight. You'll know.
You have to watch like the news or something?
Nah, you just pick up the lottery deal on your computer and they'll tell you what the numbers are.
You have a computer?
But after all the stuff that LeBron James and Carmelo have done, all I need is one winning ticket. And they're already nowhere and tear.
Made as much as they have.
And I made as much as they have, and I got no wear and tear.
Suckers.
That's what I'm saying. You know?
You do have a new knee. You have a little wear and tear.
But that's,
there.
You know, like Thomas Hollywood Henderson. You're right, E.
You won it twice.
How is he playing a lottery? That's right. That's not fair.
That's one of my rules. I don't play it, but once you win it, you're then out. You can't play anymore. And Hollywood did. He won it twice. That's amazing. Hollywood won not once, but twice. And Shaq still plays the lottery. See, that's what bothers me.
Why does that bother you?
Because Shaq has made a fortune.
Can you dig it?
Like, poor people are supposed to play the lottery.
See, that's where you're wrong. See, that's it. You think we're all redneck, we're all poor people, and that's why we play the lottery. Did he just say that poor people play the lottery?
Well, if people like Shaq and Hollywood after he won it weren't playing, it would make the odds better for the people that could really use that
the
scratch.
Poor people. Yeah, the old poor people like me.
How much are one of these tickets, man? Is it a dollar a piece?
No, they're more. If you play the extra where you win the big money, it's $3 for one ticket.
Oh, man.
Used to be two. They pumped it up because we're trying to educate the kids, too.
That's what the government's doing these days.
We're trying. It's for Texas education.
Listen, I was
what we do.
Of course, yeah, kind of like the strip club, putting people through school.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yellow Rose. If it supports the Yellow Rose, I'll buy a bunch.
See?
Hey, I'm looking to get the legal gambling and the marijuana moving. I mean, that's where we can really start making some money for our schools.
And all legal I need to do gambling. Is hit the lottery once, and I can look at LeBron and say, man, you've worked a long time and hard over your career.
Look what I got.
I walked into the store and got the magic
ticket.
That's
the first thing you're going to do is go find LeBron and talk trash to him?
First of all, I'm going to Mello first and say, hey, dude, quit playing and wasting people's money. Go buy yourself some tickets.
Mello hasn't even made it to a finals, has he?
No, hasn't made it to a conference
finals. Conference finals, and he's made the same amount as LeBron. LeBron's been to, what, 10? I mean, unbelievable.
Those two have made more
salary
than both of those guys.
I know.
Mike Conley's got a bigger contract than LeBron's
ever had. So did Jordan
make
more money than LeBron?
Who?
Jordan, like playing money-wise? No, right? His contracts haven't been more than LeBron.
Well, I mean,
I know
Jordan,
what he's
Jordan's
made
a billionaire.
Yeah, that's in advertising.
That's about Nike.
Yeah.
And his endorsements. All right, we'll come back when we do. How about this? Speaking of Chris Paul, USA Today has ranked the five worst moves of the offseason now that the Kawhi Leonard trade is done.
Right.
Pretty much all the big deals are in the books. We'll run through some of those. We'll also dive into the other top stories. Get you a leaderboard from the British Open. Low scores today in good conditions. Details coming. It's Beanie on the Horn. Oh, man. Just got a nice text in, Buck. You know, 2 weeks from today, or 2 weeks from tonight, I'm going to be in Chicago on our vacation, and we're going to be seeing this guy at Lollapalooza, Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars, Grant Park, Lollapalooza.
Now, when you're at the park, it's not waterpalooza. He's not going to be out there in the out.
It's not Floatapalooza.
It's not Floatapalooza.
No, that's going on in San Marcos, or east of San Marcos. And that's Float Fest. But Float Fest down in San Marcos, you know, we had Tom Gimbel in here on Wednesday with our Where's the Fun and Where's the Live Music. But Float Fest is a big deal. But I just got the text. I've got passes for Friday night Friday, Lollapalooza. My kids are all excited because my wife loves Bruno Mars. And then there's someone named Post Malone. Post Malone.
That's going to be a good show, man.
Is he good, Post Malone?
That's going to be a pretty good show.
My kids are all fired up about that. I think Greta Van Fleet's playing that day. That's that hot new band that sounds like Led Zeppelin. They're out of Wisconsin or wherever.
They'll be in Chicago playing?
The same bill?
Yeah, it's like the ACL Fest. It's Chicago's version of it. It's called Lollapalooza.
It's run by the people here too,
yeah,
right?
C3. It's all C3.
Okay.
It's where we were able to get some passes. C3. That is our base tier, you know. But, yeah, so that's exciting. 2 weeks from or 2 weeks from yesterday, I'll be at the Cubs game, going to see the Cubs and Padres. Yeah. Yeah, we're doing the Chicago.
Going to the White Sox, too?
No.
No, thanks.
I'm not going to the South Side. I'm good.
You can do a tour?
I'll go up to Wrigleyville and hang out with the kids. That'll be fun.
Really?
No. Go ahead.
You don't want to go by Cabrini Green and all that?
No, Trey Elling is kind of planning where we go, because Trey Elling's been to Chicago before. Now, we've been there many times, but I'm just crossing my fingers for good weather, because everything we're doing is outside. We're going to the Cedar Park amusement park.
Oh, you know, it'll be hot and nasty there.
Oh, Cedar. I looked at the long-term forecast. It was in the 80s, 83 throughout the week, which looks pretty good. No, but this Float Fest thing that we talked about, this is in Martindale, I believe, which is east of 35. Let me tell you about this lineup.
Man, this sounds cool.
Wags, you need to be there, man. You get into a tube.
Okay.
And then you float and you listen to music. So you got Snoop Dogg.
The dog is there.
Snoop Dogg is there. Don't meet me there. Beat me there.
That's right.
Snoop.
$5. $5.
Tame Impala, the Cold War Kids, Lil Wayne, the Toadies, White Denim. Who's
I
a
listen
great
to Cold War Kids.
Yeah. I mean, this is a huge lineup. And it's right here. Yeah.
Lil Wayne is here, too.
Yeah, so sad.
He's a good Texas band.
Bass Nectar's great. There's a water stage and a sun stage, apparently. And Snoop,
oh, you're going to get plenty of sun this weekend.
Yeah, wear your sunscreen. But how about this for this? It's going to be 108 degrees.
No, thanks. No outdoor concerts for the Buck.
Yeah.
One World Theater indoors.
So on Sunday, if you got there about 5:15, you'd have White Denim, the Toadies, Snoop Dogg, Cold War Kids, and Tame Impala. Saturday, you've got the Suffers, who you like a lot. They're playing at the Suffers. How about that? You'll be suffering. It's 5:15.
You better drink water.
For the Suffers.
Is that at Waterloo? Or
no, are they gonna, it's on the water stage.
No.
Float Fest. And then there's Cashmere Cat, Lil Wayne, Modest Mouse, Run the Jewels, Bass Nectar on Saturday. That's a good lineup. They spent a lot of money on that. They better do well with ticket sales.
Is this the first year? Is this the
No, they've done it for several years, I believe. But this is a big one. All right, so we mentioned earlier the five worst moves of the NBA's offseason. Can I get you some of these?
Okay.
This according to the Big Lead and the USA Today. Number five, the Atlanta Hawks importing Jeremy Lin. Lin Sanity. Terrible move, $13.77 million. They call that the fifth worst move of the NBA's offseason. Fourth worst, the Spurs trade of Kawhi Leonard. Says the Spurs got 2 cents on the dollar for one of the best three players in the league. Says, look, I get it. The Spurs needed to move Kawhi because he was refusing to play for them. Let me ask you this, though. Because he says, in exchange for one of the five best players in the league and Danny Green, the Spurs got DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a 2019 first-round pick, likely to be in the 20s. Apparently, the Spurs are in win-now mode and adding DeRozan in an attempt to remain relevant in the Western Conference. What they should have done is tear things down, rebuild without Leonard, because without him, they're not winning anytime soon. Is that a fair point that this keeps them relevant?
I don't think it's true.
But trying to trade for young assets, including draft picks, and this is an assertion that comes without fact. Like, what deal was out there that was better is what I need to see. I don't know what
was a deal out there that was better than DeMar DeRozan is somebody.
Yeah, but you're not going to
No, he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. He's going to play really well for Pop. He seems like the guy that would fit, just like Kawhi Leonard fit. If Kawhi Leonard would be good anywhere else, but I don't know if he could have been as great as he was.
Well, here's the argument, right? And I believe the Spurs did about as well as they could. And
yes.
We've agreed on that. But you did trade for a guy who's going to be 30 in a year or two, and you've got LaMarcus Aldridge, who just turned 34 yesterday, or 33, 34. So you're trying to win now, right? Your window with this current group is the next 2 to 3 years. But you got Golden State, the juggernaut, and here comes LeBron, and they end up with the Kawhi.
Everybody's thinking that, though, right?
The argument would have been, and this is where I don't know what else was offered. What did L.A. actually offer? What did Boston or Philadelphia actually offer? But if there was an opportunity to go young and build with youth and draft picks, might have been a better way to go. But the Spurs are, yes, they will be relevant in the West, and they may be one of the top four teams in the West next year with the roster they currently have. So it's hard to call it a terrible move, but that's what the USA Today believes. How about this one? Chicago matching Zach LaVine's offer sheet. They didn't like that pick because he's an enigmatic player. But the top two worst moves of this NBA's offseason, according to the Big Lead, Oklahoma City overpaying to keep Paul George, saying, I said a number of times, Paul George is a very good player, but he's not a $30 million a year player. Those contracts should be reserved for superstars, and he's not that. Oklahoma City Thunder were in a tough spot, so they gave him 4 years, $137 million. And then this one, number one worst move of the offseason, the Houston Rockets giving a max contract to 33-year-old Chris Paul. And I did not know this until I read this story, but think about this, Buck. This is an escalating max deal for Chris Paul. This year, Chris Paul is going to make almost over $35 million bucks. But it escalates each year. When he's 36 years old, Chris Paul will be making $44
well, then that's dumb.
Million. Dollars.
That's dumb. For a guy who, when you really, really need him, is hurt, by the time he's that age, he's going to be hurt mid-season.
This reminds me of the contract the Mets signed Pedro Martinez to late in his career. Remember when that, when he left the Red
Pedro.
Sox?
Yeah, little Pedro.
And it was one of those contracts where you're like, man, well, it's, yeah, you're going to like that contract this year. You're going to hate that contract when he's 37. And they did. And that's what the Rockets are going to have. They're going to have a 36-year-old, injury-prone, worn-down point guard who they owe $44 million to. Would they have been smarter to say, Chris, dude, sorry.
Well, we got to go, and let's keep Trevor Ariza.
Because, yeah, let's re-sign our young players,
yeah,
and let's see if we can go out. But Chris Paul was so good, they were a Chris Paul injury away from maybe winning the championship last year.
You know what? That's just fake and false because he gets injured too much. That's too much money to pay to him, age-wise and injury-wise.
He goes hard, though. I mean, he
well, yeah, there's a lot of guys. You know where he went hard?
He needs everything out on that court, man.
You know who went hard? Derrick Rose. He went hard every time he was on the court, too. And his longevity wasn't very long.
Well, he's the same age as LeBron, so and people think LeBron's got a bunch more years left, I guess. But we'll see. We'll see where that is. That's a wait-and-see conversation, but pretty interesting. How about this? This says, the Suffers, H-Town, baby. This says, that's going to be a hell of a party, but damn, it's going to be hot.
Man, they got a big old singer. I mean, she's big bone. That's what I meant. It's going to be hot for her. Whew.
But you're in water.
She's not in water.
Who? The Suffers lady?
Yeah.
She may jump in.
Maybe. Yeah, she's bulky. She's got bulk.
The lead singer of the Suffers. Yeah, she's a large black woman.
Yes, she is.
But she can blow.
Yeah, that's gonna be hard on her though. That heat's gonna just jump right on her back. It's gonna be right on her back.
She'll be like you yesterday on number 16.
It's gonna be right on the back of her neck. Her big thick neck in the back.
Oh, she's got the rolls.
Dude, I'm not body shaming. I'm just saying she's a big lady.
You're just describing her.
Yeah,
I've never seen this person before. You're letting me know what she looks like.
I now
have a nice picture of who you're talking about.
She can sing. Get a picture of her. You'll see what I'm talking about. How that heat sometimes gets on the back of that neck.
That smooth Snoop Dogg will be so high and hot, he might fall
right
in the river.
He won't even care. He won't care, though. And he's used to that. He doesn't care.
Just don't mess his hair up.
So I'll say this.
$5.
If you see someone prancing around in Austin, Texas this weekend that looks like Snoop Dogg.
It's the dog.
It's the dog.
Yeah.
Because he's here this
or
weekend.
Or Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne.
Snoop Dogg hangs out in Austin a lot. He comes here for a lot of he's around here a lot.
Well, Snoop said Willie Nelson.
He used to be at Stubbs a lot.
He says Willie Nelson's the only guy ever to smoke him under the
table. That's why he hangs out here.
So that was it. Willie's the only guy.
Willie's got the good stuff.
Out on that bus. All right, we'll come back. We'll tee it up for Trey and BK through the midday, set you up for your Friday and the weekend, including a reminder what's coming up this weekend, and get you ready and get you one more leaderboard before we're out of here. The second round action at the British Open continues. It's hot and heavy. There is a new leader, up to 7 under par. Details coming on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Happy Friday to you. Hope you're ready for a great weekend. We know it's Austin, Texas, so you might work till lunchtime. Maybe. Maybe. Or you'll just call it a day. Go watch golf. Jordan Spieth on the course. He just made a bomb off the green there. I think a little chip in.
Make him even?
For birdie. Yeah, it should put him at even par. You want to know what's up with Tiger Woods? You know, you picked Tiger to win this tournament. And you know what? The old Tiger Woods would be winning this tournament.
Yeah, with his opportunities, yes.
Tiger Woods is even par, 71-71, and he has missed no less than 8 or 9 very makeable birdie putts in 2 days.
You're right.
The old Tiger Woods would be leading this tournament.
Yeah, because those are automatic. Those 8-footers were automatic.
Back in the day, he was as clutch a putter as there's ever been, and he's missed them all. I mean, he's made a couple, but he is missing way more than he's made. He had 29 putts yesterday. I haven't seen the stats on his putts today, but I'm sure it's about the same.
You know what he's putting like? He's on the LPGA.
Damn.
Sorry, you know how I feel about that. And they're putting.
So women can't putt, and they're not funny.
Well, is that is it up in the?
It's an age thing.
I
believe
in the brain?
Nope. I believe it's an age thing. I believe that depth perception and those ones that were automatic when you're a little bit younger.
And it's a confidence factor, too.
And a confidence factor.
When you're brash and you're the biggest swinging you-know-what on tour and doing whatever you want. And,
those are easy.
No, just dead in the back of the cup. Don't even think about it. You know who that guy is right now is Kevin Kisner. Kevin Kisner had 21 putts yesterday. And compare 21 putts to 29 that Tiger had, that's an 8-stroke difference. And
when you stand over him, when you're younger and feeling really good about the way you are in your game, those putts in your mind, they're all going in, E. That's Jordan Spieth, the way Jordan Spieth. Look at him. And why should I say that about Tiger's age? Because Jordan Spieth is struggling with the same thing. Yeah. Well, he has this year.
Well, Rory McIlroy, when he putts well, he can beat anybody in the world. But, you know, the game is won on the greens. There is no doubt about that. I mean, drive for show, putt for dough.
Absolutely.
That's always been said, and that's true in amateur golf and hacker golf like us. If you're playing for one downs and skins, the guy who can putt the best typically wins the money.
Yeah, if you can hit a bunch of 8-9 footers for pars in games that we play.
It keeps you in it, creates a push, and then
there
you make a birdie. That's the winner. And
but dang, he's missed some easy putts, and these greens aren't that tough right now.
Well, and we'll see. Remember, it was last year this time Jordan Spieth just turned it on, just flipped a switch on the back nine and just roared home. It was still one of the most unbelievable 5-hole stretches that's ever been played in championship golf to win the Claret Jug. But he is at even par. Tiger is at even par. The leader is Zach Johnson, who shot 67 today. He's a good putter. Kevin Kisner, I mentioned him. He's been to 7-under a couple of times, but then given it back today. Tommy Fleetwood is my pick to beat. When we come in on Monday, I think it's going to be Tommy Fleetwood as the winner. He shot 65 today. This dude, he's a little guy. The long hair, he is a little dude, but he can play. He can flat play golf.
There are a couple guys that are really you don't have to be big hitter here because the ball runs and gets up there. If you got a nice short game, and the guy who's getting ready to putt right now, who's -2, is Ricky Fowler. When his putter is on, he has a great short game. And that's why Zach Johnson is in this, E, because his short game is incredible.
Well, listen, I mean, this is the day. I mean, I don't know what the weather's forecast is for tomorrow and Saturday, but this is the day, and that's why a guy like Tommy Fleetwood posting a 65, Zach Johnson going low. This was a day where their wind was down, the course is soft, you can attack this golf course today, and if you're Tiger Woods and you end up at 71, you didn't take advantage of it.
No.
And because you didn't putt well, and you missed a lot of makeable putts. And that, Jordan Spieth is just now playing his second or third hole. We'll watch him today. Can Jordan Spieth take advantage of this? Because look, with the lead being at 6, if Jordan can go 3-under, he's right there. He's just 3 back of the leaders.
Yeah,
at that
Ricky Fowler just went 3-under. So, I mean, a guy who can putt in this kind of golf course is...
And the greens are great. The greens are great. I mean, the fairways look like cornflakes or something. It's a mess. But even they're softened up today because of the rain. And this is the day to score because tomorrow or Sunday there's going to be
wind and rain.
You're going to deal with wind and a really difficult comp. So it's the guys who are able to manage that. But when the course is there to go get it, you got to go get it. And Fleetwood did that today. Zach Johnson did that today. Rory McIlroy did that a little bit today. So we'll see into the weekend. So that's the breakfast with the golf this weekend. Also have the Astros and Rangers back on the ball field. Astros are in L.A. to face Mike Trout and the Angels for 3 games. Rangers are hosting the Cleveland Indians. Indians just made that big trade yesterday to get Brad Hand and try to bolster their bullpen. Manny Machado will make his debut tonight with the Dodgers in Milwaukee against the Brewers, which that's kind of rubbing salt in the wound because the Brewers were all in on Manny Machado and thought they had a chance to get him. And instead, they'll have to play him tonight.
Yeah, I think he goes yard at least twice in Miller Park, man.
You think so? We'll see. The Brewers and the Phillies were eager to get Manny Machado, and the Dodgers swooped in and got him. And
it's a great hitter park.
Might have swung the balance of the National League there. So baseball's back. We've got the golf all weekend long.
And please hydrate yourself this weekend. Don't joke.
Over-hydrate yourself.
Yeah, don't joke about this as we're messing around a little bit. But that was not a fun trip for me. That wasn't very smart yesterday. And I'm starting to learn that. Within 2 years, I've had two semi-episodes of thinking that you can go out there and play and hit around. There's a reason why there's nobody on the golf courses at 12 o'clock, 1:30.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, and it's for real. And so you got to hydrate. When people that have to be out there, I understand that. They know how to deal with that.
If you work in it and you're an outdoor.
You know what to do.
Yeah. Let me mention this today because we've talked plenty of football today. Two things that I find interesting. Jimmy Garoppolo, as we talked about yesterday, going on a date with a porn star. Still don't get that. Doesn't make sense to me. He's 26 or 7. She's 41. That's poor judgment. Poor judgment. But I also have to say this, that Julian Edelman will not follow his teammate Tom Brady into federal court to fight his PED suspension, apparently. That according to Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network. Edelman's not going to go to court to fight this. Looks like he's going to go ahead and serve the four-game suspension to start the season. That would include the Texans in week one. How about this lineup? The Patriots will not have Julian Edelman for their first four games. Texans, Jaguars, in a rematch of the AFC Championship game from a year ago, Lions and Dolphins. That Jaguars game without Julian, Texans game without Julian could be very, very interesting. But I did see somebody posted, see if I can find these for you, Buck. Julian Edelman's baby mama was hanging out on the beach this week in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her name is Eva Rose, I believe. Yeah.
Every Eva.
Yeah.
What is going on in the Patriots, man? It's like Danny.
Hey, and Brady and Belichick haven't talked yet. After all this stuff that's going on, when will they speak? Oh, when they get to camp, then they'll start to get together. I don't see it happening for the New England Patriots this year.
Yeah, here you go.
I don't know. They always find a way.
There's Julian Edelman's baby mama. That's it.
I don't know why Julian Edelman is still playing football.
That's Ella Rose.
Is he near?
He should be at the beach.
He should be at the beach.
Is he with Miss Ella?
Yeah. He should probably be at the beach right now.
Very lovely.
And not worrying about football.
Very lovely. Okay, well, that's going to do it for us. Wags, thank you so much. Take care of Trey and BK. They're going to need your assistance today, I'm sure of it. They have a great show planned. Also, Rod Babers with the Rodcast this afternoon. Chad and Kevin wrap it up on a Friday. Enjoy it all weekend. Remember, Colonel Craig Flowers tomorrow morning with 0900. That follows the Big Uglies.
Special guest he's got tomorrow.
Yeah, very special guest. You'll want to tune in. He's got a great guest tomorrow that's been featured on the Oprah Winfrey Show and on 30 for 30. So tune in tomorrow, 0900 at 9 o'clock. Big Uglies precede it. And then our take tomorrow. The Tailgate Gang will be going at noon tomorrow. Get after it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.